So is the NFL fixed? I was thinking about it a few years ago, was talking about it. There were some suspicious plays and game scenarios that kind of got me thinking a little bit about it, and kind of and then what happens is you start looking for reasons to support that idea, which there's many to be found. Lots of people have been saying it for a few years. And every year, I've been such a fan of the game for so long, growing up with it. Every year comes back around and you get psyched about your team again, and you watch. And the season goes pretty, everything's looking normal. And you're psyched about your teams and the games. In the NFL, the playoffs, it boils down to one game for a team. And it's win or lose. There's no game series like there is in Major League Baseball and NBA and other sports. And so it comes down to crucial, the best team, the best offense or defense in the league, it can come down to one play that can ruin their season or make their season or it, cause them to advance. And that is very, so that means everyone's watching that certain one play. And you see some crazy missed calls. And last year, the Saints are one of my favorite teams. Last year, I was convinced the NFL was rigged, or that game was rigged, or it's rigged to a certain point where they want certain teams to advance. And my theory goes kind of deep. It's always every team that advances extremely far, like winning the Super Bowl, it's always usually, it seems to be the team that wherever there might be a great catastrophe or natural disaster, like let's say the California fires or Hurricane Katrina or a great nor'easter, when Houston had the hurricane, they were under 10 feet of water. Certain those, it's interesting how many times the teams that are in the team that is from the place that's suffering greatly economically and financially get this tourism boost with their team going all the way to the Super Bowl or the title to win the championship. What's going on this year? Well, it looks like the Rams are going all the way. The two teams that go to Los Angeles that same year, the Chargers and the Rams, go deep into the playoffs. And California's in extreme financial troubles with the fires. They're bankrupt. The mudslides, fires, earthquakes, the high-speed rail and the fires, and there's a conspiracy behind all that side of it too. Does the NFL tie into all that? You people have conspiracies about, let's say like the high speed rail conspiracy. Well, that's just a giant conspiracy about corporations doing things shady things to get their agenda done. Well, the NFL is nothing but a giant corporation as well. So are they all buddy buddy and on the same page and trying to get one main goal accomplished in roundabout ways? History would say absolutely. History would show us that those kind of things have been going on for thousands of years, which is heartbreaking. And what's more heartbreaking is, the younger generation. I'm a millennial slash Generation X, in my 30s. You could say, oh, I'm a conspiracy guy about the NFL. I believe it's rigged. And I'm just a young guy that, I'm one of those fail-lennial type cats. But the truth is these older gentlemen in their 60s and 70s and late 50s that grew up watching real NFL, Dick Butkus, all the greats, when football was the real deal, You tell them the NFL's rigged, and you throw it out there a little bit in conversation. You make jokes about, oh, in Vegas, or they threw, you know, it used to be, you know, what's the old term, the throw the fight, I guess. You get paid to throw the fight or get knocked out in the second round. I mean, it's a story as old as time, really. The fights are, the game, is it being thrown by certain players? Are the refs, who we think they are? Are they working for some kind of bigger machine? What's the deal with all that? And, it's pretty interesting. And there's a lot of evidence now. And, so these older gentlemen that grew up with football and all that, they're starting to, you know, they're getting a glazed over look in their eyes. They're not so sure anymore if I'm just a crazy Generation X, you know, punk spoiled American kid that grew up with no, not knowing, you know, my head's in the clouds type of things. They try to give us that angle, you know. Interesting shit. So we know what happened. We know what happened with WWE wrestling, with all the different wrestling organizations. It wasn't exciting, and so they made it exciting by throwing in circus actors and all kinds of spandex and shit like that. And they built a fan base, and kids liked it, and lots of people loved it. And is, you know, it's heartbreaking is that the direction the NFL is going to create turmoil, excitement, you know, angst, fighting, you know. Why don't they just get a bunch of Conor McGregors out there playing quarterback and they can you know, have like hockey fights, you know. And then it gets to the point, like, screw it, let the refs tag team in as well, you know, let them throw a fake flag and let this, you know, the quarterback McGregor come over there and just beat the shit out of him. I mean, I'll go pay to see that. Fuck playing football, you know. Let's turn it into like some kind of crazy ass riot game. So NFL needs to decide. It doesn't matter if it's rigged or not. If the people start believing that it's rigged and having doubts about it, it is rigged. And once we lose our faith in it, then you guys better figure out the NFL needs to figure out what they're going to do. So you're listening to Podcaster Bulletproof. Welcome. So tell me about your story about your dad, dude, because I was just saying how these older guys, you know, it's one thing for us to think that we're all, the NFL's rigged and we're just some punk bitches, don't know anything about sports. And, you know, we're like these fear people that believe all these conspiracies on YouTube. But what happens when these 60 and 70 year old guys start going, yeah, what's the deal with that shit looked rigged? These older guys, I feel bad because they will, like, I had a heart attack, like, you know, in a comical way. But these older guys, when they find out their best team they grew up with, it was all a bunch of WWF wrestlers putting on an act, they're gonna fucking it's not gonna be pretty, dude.
He said he might not watch the Super Bowl, but I bet he still will.
Yeah, there's a few people saying they're you know, I boycotted last year because the whole knee thing, kneeling deal, but there's these older
men. You didn't watch it last year?
I watched a few games, but I didn't follow, like, oh, you know, the Saints are playing, oh, the Cardinals are on it. I was out, dude. I boycotted.
Oh, I haven't been paying attention to that for a while, but I'll catch the Super Bowl every year.
Right, but are we catching the Super Bowl because we love football and it's a good game, or because it's fake and it's just entertainment?
It's supposed to be the two best teams playing each other, so if I want to watch football every now and then, it might as well be the best football around. Dude, I'll watch it once a year.
In world wrestling, it's the two best wrestlers going at it every night.
Well, you know? true, and that was pretty blatant. The no call.
Well, dude, I go back to last year when the Saints guy, he
just, like you said, that's crazy that they replayed it 40 times.
All right, yeah, yeah. So, you know, my uncle goes, oh, so they missed the call. What's the big deal? And I said, nobody in the world missed that call. Anyone who was watching that game did not miss that. That was blatant pass. Like, it wasn't even pass interference. It was a technical foul before.
Yeah.
So then they're playing, they're doing the replay about 1,000 times. While the refs are going there acting like they still don't know what's going on the field, and they all got the earbuds in their ears, and like the guy up in the owner up in the box, whatever they call that thing, they're just telling them, you know, they they're Here's another conspiracy. They let the games go down to the wire. They keep them strategically close games so that fans, butthurt fans, don't leave the stadiums and they sell more nachos. It's all makes sense. Like, if your team's getting smoked, like, I remember back in the day, if your team was getting smoked, we would leave before halftime. And like, no one's ever leaving anymore because there's always, right before halftime or, like, right after halftime, we're like, oh, down 21-0, and, like, they came back miraculously. I mean, they're putting this shit together every game. When I was a kid,
they really control that much, though? I mean, that one call... That was obvious. Controlled that much in that one call, but they're getting so much heat about that already. Like, how much can they really do? Do they really walk that super fine line?
They're ruthless. They're trying to
But then who's they? Is it the entire NFL or is it some of the owners of the teams?
The NFL is a corporation.
Is it them in collusion? The NFL is a corporation.
It's a corporation in cahoots with all the other corporations worldwide. And look at the two teams. Look at Los Angeles. They need fucking stacks of money for their high-speed rail. They just took the two teams deep into the playoffs.
But we'd rather build stadiums.
No.
Dude, we're paying for all those fucking stadiums. The taxpayers helped build
them. Right, we're also paying for the high-speed rail. And now we're also paying for Los Angeles Rams.
The stadiums get done, though, right? Is the rail getting done?
I don't know. They just paved the way with all those fires. Bro, look at the maps. They're side by side. I'm not making this shit up. I'm just repeating it. I don't necessarily believe it. I know the Lord works in mysterious ways. Maybe God really wants the light rail to be built. dude, seriously. You got to look at those two maps side by side. And the fire map that just went through California and the light rail planned land grab that they need.
Think it was all planned burning?
There's lots of people that own private land where that light rail is planned to go through. Or not the light rail, the high-speed rail.
Oh, so they just burned them all up so they could swoop in and get the land for dirt cheap?
Well, they just...
Once there's no house on it, it's not worth that much.
Well, no, you have your insurance, but, you know, they're...
Well, yeah, the insurance pays you, but then the land, you know, they come in and swoop it.
Who know, dude? All I know is that those two maps line up, and then you watch all the NFL, and that's just like we need to have like a cross conspiracy podcast. How does Ancient Aliens tie into the NFL being fake?
Ancient Aliens, come on.
Real talk though, so all these older men are losing their minds, and that's interesting. And look at the NBA. Like, I recently got into a player I like. You know, he's just a basic player, and it's kind of like was refreshing, and so I'm starting to be a little bit of a fan of the NBA again. But it's different, you know, in the NBA because they do like 7-series games in the playoff. NFL, it's one game. So one fucking call by a ref, and you're fucking done, dude. It's over. Your whole season's done. The Saints and the Chiefs are the two teams that should be going to the playoffs, the Super Bowl.
Agreed.
And it's because they are the better teams. And then the coin toss in overtime with the Chiefs, Patriots. I don't know if I want the ref flipping the coin. Every time the Patriots call heads and every time it lands on heads. I think I've seen it like 3 or 4 times in the last 5 years. Let a random fan flip the coin every time there's a coin toss. You know, and then the fans would be more like they would stay longer and buy more hot dogs if you let go pick a random fan to flip the coin.
Yeah.
That'd be a beautiful thing. Why is the ref always flipping the coin? And so you look at that game, and the Chiefs should have won that game, dude. The way Mahone came back, I mean, come on, dude. And the Saints, we knew, won that game. The Saints had that game. If that call didn't have happened, they would have scored. We know it. They would have either kicked a field goal or scored a touchdown.
Yep.
It would have been brutal.
Wouldn't have been no overtime.
But guess who's going?
Selling more nachos.
The high-speed rail in California is going to the Super Bowl. The Los Angeles frickin' Rams. They were the St. Louis Rams. And so, people are, this. Here's the sad thing is the NFL, it's like they don't care. They're going to lose so many fans. I mean, so many people are not going to be watching the Super Bowl. I'm not planning on watching the Super Bowl. I was going to have a Super Bowl party here, you know, nachos and chips and shit. Now I might just end up at someone else's house and stop by for a minute, but I don't even care about the game. I care more about the dessert table. It used to be I cared about the game a couple weeks ago. But last year they did the same thing to me. And then the kneeling thing. I don't, you know, it's ridiculous, dude. Like, I have certain beliefs, so I'm going to go take a knee at work. Yeah, like, you're some construction site with a nail gun in my hand. I'm going to go out there and fucking kneel while, you know.
Well, you know, back in the day, they didn't come out until after all that. We did all that, and then the players come out. So they would do whatever they wanted to do in their fucking locker rooms.
What, during the national anthem?
Yeah. It was only a new thing to, like, increase patriotism after 2001.
Well, yeah, and what's interesting is, where were all the protesters then? They all were patriots, apparently. They all came out and followed along and were patriots. Where's those hardcore belief systems when, like you're saying, when they all used to just be in the locker room?
They can kneel or stand or do whatever the hell they want to do. It doesn't have to be publicized.
Right, and so so the NFL was getting more attention and more publicity and making more money on controversy rather than the game. And and there we are. It's like a Ric Flair type of fiasco. He's just like some celebrity, and, you know, he got caught doing something crazy and wild in the news tabloids. And it's World Wrestling Federation. It's not football anymore. And so, I almost burnt all my NFL gear last year. And made one of those YouTube videos just because I'm one of those, I'm revolutionary like that. You know, you do have to take a stand and make your statement, you know? Where are you going to draw the line? Like, I'm done supporting sports in the corporation, dude. I can't, and it pisses me off because I got Cardinals hats, I got Saints gear, I got, you know, Phoenix Sun shit.
Well, why burn it? Give it to Goodwill.
No, dude, because it's symbolic by doing that. Giving it to Goodwill is like, there's this chance. Like, you know, we have to draw a line, and there's no chance. You guys aren't redeeming yourselves.
I've never gone back and gotten something I've dropped off at Goodwill.
No.
There's no coming back from Goodwill.
Yeah, but that article will come back. That shit's out on the street, you know?
Yeah, well, you just saved some fan fucking $40 that they're not getting now, so.
Screw that fan, dude. I don't like fans. I'm done with fans, dude.
Well, you can't just say you don't like large amounts of the population without knowing them.
I don't like you if you're wearing a freaking sports hat.
Come on.
I'm done, dude. If you're rocking, basically now, and it's sad because it's like if you're like a hardcore sports fan and you don't have any like doubt, what you can't even have, like, there's sports fans out there, they think you're a mental patient by even having the conversation. And they'll finally come out, well, the ref, you know, they paid the ref off. He blew the game. It's funny how everyone's like, fuck the referees. The referees are doing, it's like, dude, that referee's like doing his honorable job. And, like, probably doesn't want to lose his job if he doesn't do what, you know, miss the call or whatever. And that's, like, a distraction. The referees, what's hate the referees and, like, some distraction.
Those poor referees are getting a lot of hate right now.
That's what I'm saying. But there's no way a referee would have missed that call.
Dude,
and it was under
Vegas odds. What were the Vegas odds on it?
And it's under 2 minutes. And I thought all those kind of plays were reviewed under the 2 minute warning. That was under the 2 minute warning, that missed call. And, you know, I say review that shit and put the ball, you know, half the distance to the goal. And I mean, you know, they're assholes, dude. What do they want? Like, what do they have? Children are going to be NFL fans that don't even care? Or, like, people that... Wrestling's not entertaining because of the competition. It's entertaining because of the psychological situations. It's like a reality show. They're enacting real-life emotions. That's why we watch it. We don't care who wins. It's better it's better when the Undertaker gets buried and killed and sent to hell because we know he's coming back one day. We want him to lose even though we're his biggest fans. You know what I mean? Yeah. It doesn't even matter. You know, it's like if the NFL was more like fake wrestling, we would be happy the Saints got their ass kicked and cheated and lost because we know that in the script they're coming back with a vengeance next year. But in reality, that doesn't happen in reality. Am I right or am I wrong? Like, you could make predictions now based on it. I think.
Also, Patriots or Rams then.
So that's the second year in a row the Saints made it all the way to the conference champion game and lost in the last 2 minutes. Last year, it was one, the last play of the game, they lost to a touchdown because our deep safety just did a swan dive into upfield. And then I saw this video on that play. This guy goes over the play, and he goes over to the lineman, and there's this lineman on the Saints that is charging the quarterback, and he's about to sack him. He has a dead-to-rights, full-blown sack, and he turns around and faces downfield, and then the quarterback throws the ball. It's on video on that same exact play.
What?
Yeah. And so at first, because I can see, you know, the deep safety made him, he did make a mistake. He went for a tackle and he thought he was there and he wasn't there. You know, you got faked out. But when you add two of those guys in the same play, making something that was so ridiculously off time, it's either a miracle or it's fucking rigged, you know? So,
I have no idea. Maybe they got paid money.
Well, I think my conspiracy is based on regions. The financial financial burdens going on in certain regions, that's why those teams go there. Look, here's another angle. Los Angeles, the Super Bowl this year is in Georgia. Los Angeles and New England are two of the furthest points from Georgia on the lower 48. That means anyone that's going to the Super Bowl that's a hardcore fan, it's the most flyer miles, the most gas mileage, the most travel, the most time, the most preparation, the longest distances for all traveling.
Yeah.
Which increased economy. If it was the Miami Dolphins and the Atlanta Falcons going to play the Super Bowl in Georgia, it wouldn't do any economy boost for people traveling from Seattle or any, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would just be local. And that never hardly ever happens. And so that's a little bit of a conspiracy that I came, another angle that it seems like it's interesting. Where's the Super Bowl going to be next year? We could look it up and I could almost predict who the teams are going to go to the Super Bowl. I've been doing it. I get pretty close. I'm not kidding you. I get pretty close. And that's why I think it's always New England, because they have to travel the furthest to get to Los Angeles for the holidays and for the sporting events, the Patriots fans. The ones that live in Boston.
Suckering them all in.
Seriously. And what, the Patriots, I'll travel. That's I don't funny. Care. I'll drive all the way over there. Oh, I don't even care. The Patriots were the shit. And so these guys are paying like $1,000 in gas and shit to drive RVs, airplane tickets, hotels. That's fucking weird. So here's an idea. The NBA, when the finals happen, it's always back and forth between the two regions. They need to make it like the Super Bowl where the finals are always held in just one place that's not even related to those two regions, like they do in the NFL. They'd make more money. Same with MLB. And let's go back. What happened at 9/11? The Yankees went to the championship with Arizona.
So we won, right?
We won, but yeah. The Yankees were there. Look what happened in Houston with the Cubs. Houston was under 10 feet of water. That year, the Astros went to the finals and MLB. Think about that. When was the last time the Astros did anything? What was the other one? The San Francisco Giants that won it that year. There was it's always something, you know, I can't remember. The New Orleans Saints, the same year Hurricane Katrina hit, the Superdome was a homeless shelter.
Yeah.
For Hurricane Katrina. They won that year.
That's crazy.
There's a bunch of them I had, I was thinking, where it just always seems
quick to turn around.
It always seems to make sense to me. But anyways, look at the Eagles won last year against the Patriots. But what they have last year, catastrophic nor'easters and shit in that whole region. Those two teams went to the Super Bowl. It's strange to me. The next year, LA fires. The whole place is on fire. The whole place is burning to the ground. High-speed rail, Tesla launching rockets and shit. The two teams from L.A. go the deepest into the playoffs. People were predicting that the Chargers were going to win, not the Rams.
Yeah.
So that shows you that the Chargers were, I think, were in many ways a better team. I don't know, but interesting shit, man. So here we are. So what now, bro?
You know, honey butter chicken biscuits.
You and Whataburger, huh? Still going, still living that life?
Every now and then.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I've been getting fat this last couple
Once every other week, I have Whataburger.
Once every other week, I have like 12 chicken biscuits. How many do you think you could eat? I could probably eat about 6 of them. I could do it, man.
I could, but I wouldn't want to. That is way too many biscuits.
Not really, if you think about it.
In one sitting? Yeah. Way too much, if I think about it.
You know, I grew up in that family where you eat until you're satisfied, and that's the healthy thing to do. And so starting from day one, by day two, it took me twice as much to be satisfied, and I just kept getting bigger and huger. And I don't know, I don't know if satisfied is being completely sick or not, but, you know, you're not supposed to eat until you're sick, just satisfied. So I don't know where to draw that line sometimes. Oh, man.
I've learned my lesson enough times.
You forget how easily you forget, though.
Yeah.
Just go out and pour some concrete for a few hours, and you'll forget how you weren't going to eat like that again, you know?
Well, I can tell you I haven't eaten a whole pizza in a long time.
Red Devil's disgusting, bro.
I haven't ordered from there in a long time. I'm just stuck on El Napolito's. Shout out to El Napolito. Yeah, yeah. Fire ass street tacos.
Is that all you get?
That's the best deal, if you ask me. I get like 5 of them.
Here's my problem, though. I don't think I've ever had a bad street taco, dude. Any Mexicans making street tacos is fire.
Yeah, and they're right down the street. They're right down the street from me, though. That's my spot.
Every time I go to like eat Mexican food from somewhere, like one of the family members or a restaurant, I look up and I go, "This is the best shit I've ever eaten in my life," and like they believe in me, and I believe it. But is it true? I don't know. It's, man.
You know, the moment is what you remember, bro.
Even when you get like that day old beef and it's real powdery when you chew it, you're still like, damn, it still tastes good though. It's like its own craving.
Oh, they give you lime and you just squirt that shit on there. It's delicious.
Man.
So yeah. They're open until like 8 o'clock too, so. If I'm eating out, I'm usually just going to hit that. Anywhere from 5 to 10 tacos.
The best is that chicken pho, man, the Vietnamese, dude. That's a different experience, man. You come out of there feeling like you got some sort of like, oh, you went to some oxygen bar and pumped your brain full of Jesus juice. That's delicious.
Are those even a thing anymore? What? Oxygen bars?
I don't know. I've always heard about it. I've never seen one. I've always wanted to, like, what would it be like if I took
one? I saw one at a mall one time.
I think they outlawed it. Here's what happened. People were getting addicted, like, the cocaine revolution. I've heard stories where, like, people take that shit once and they're hooked on it. And all it is oxygen. But the corporations want us to
I've had oxygen. I wasn't hooked. It's nice. It's like,
I've never had it.
That's high quality.
Dude, someone like me that's low oxygen and like low information and low income, dude, you get me on an oxygen tank, dude, I'll vote whatever you want me to vote. I'm serious, man. So we're still in the government shutdown, aren't we?
What are we at, a month?
Do you even follow that shit anymore?
Dude, it's all a joke to me. You want to talk about rigged and...
Right, okay, so here, dude, this is great. Okay, so shit gets rigged, right? And people start, like I was talking about earlier, people lose their faith and they start thinking it's all rigged and they're just a bunch of actors and shit. We don't even fucking care what happens anymore. Like, we're not worried about building the wall or not building the wall. We're like sitting, we're in our backyards waiting for someone to come over our fucking backyard wall. We're not even, we're just unplugged. The whole nation is going unplugged.
Well, I mean, it's working out perfectly. Everybody's, like, there's a lot of hate between the groups, and they're trying to ramp that up as much as they can.
Are you for build the wall?
Maybe not a wall, but however we think that we should protect our borders. Every other country in the world does. Or not every other country, but a lot of... countries.
Well, here's how other countries protect their borders a lot. If they find you in their country living shady shit, not being a contributing person, they fucking throw you in prison or they beat the fuck out of you. Here, they don't care because we find them and then we just, you know, whatever. Who knows? But they don't seem to be afraid of it. They're not worried. Like, I can go walk right into Russia. I can go walk right into Mexico and right into somewhere. But you know why I don't do it? Because what happens if they find out I'm over there, you know, collecting aluminum cans or something, or starting a woodworking company? I'm not paying the federales. Dude, you might disappear. So
now, if you want to do it legally and move to Mexico, you have to prove to them that, like, you're not going to be a burden on their system. You have to prove right. That you're bringing something to Mexico with you.
There's a lot of colonies down in Mexico. There's a German colony. I've seen this documentary. I think this white colony, like a Amish
were they expatriates?
No, yeah, that too.
Expats or whatever they call them.
I don't know, but there was some colony where they were living the life down there by Guadalajara in like this jungle little town, all nice and like cobblestone streets and shit. Low tech, you know what I'm saying? No one fucks with them. They were like, and they produce their little crafts or whatever. They have their little exports they do and shit. They're living the fucking life, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's fucking crazy, dude. You know, here's the problem. I don't think you can build the wall, you know, like it worked with Genghis Khan in China, but they were shooting bows and arrows and riding horsebacks and shit. You know, here it's different. They'll just drive an armored car through whatever you build or, you know, some thermite, you know, you're not going to really, it's a great symbol of, you know, that this is our land and this is our border and that's their land and that's their border. You know, just all is fair on either side. But I think the only true way to solve the situation is to turn Mexico into a state. You can't have some prince down there.
You know, you say that like it's easy, but...
It is easy.
With the way our shit is fucked up, we'll fuck that all up, too.
Possibly true. That doesn't mean that it's hopeless. I mean, you can't have some regime dictator.
That's very true.
You can't have a nation run by cartels and shit. You can't have that as your neighbor. It doesn't matter what you talk about. It's not happening. It's like, you just can't live that way. You know, could we be neighbors with Saudi Arabia? Could we be neighbors with, you know, name it, the Sudan or something, or, you know, the Somali? Could we be neighbors with Somali and, like, let's build a wall and just, you know, all in peace and love and fair, and, like, Somali pirates are over there, though, and running shit with AKs.
That's how Israel does it.
It is how Israel does it. And...
They didn't think twice about building a wall. They fucking threw that thing up. Quick as they could.
Right. No one thinks twice. When you get all your bikes stolen in your backyard, no one thinks twice about it's not. It's so exactly. You're exactly. So that's so basically, we're not. They say that, you know, the people that want to build the wall, we're racist. Well, wait. You should, you know, deal with Israel's wall and racism first, you know?
Oh, well, a lot of people hate Israel for a lot of reasons.
Well, too. It's funny how they call the same guy that wants to build the wall Trump, the anti-Semite. When he's trying to copy what Israel's has surrounding itself. You know, so they say I'm an anti-Semite, but I just want their blueprints to build their wall, you know.
You know, I'm still not over the 2012 election. Like, politics stopped for me after that.
Here's maybe another fix. You let the border just go, okay, we're not going to invade Mexico and make it a state, but we're going to treat it like they are. Just like Cali. A simple border crossing with a couple bomb-sniffing dogs, you know, and they eyeball you and make sure you're not on crack. And let it be free range between Mexico and California. Let everyone in the entire South America go wherever the fuck they want. Where are they going to go? Hollywood? Where are they going to go? Why are they coming here? Is there opportunity over there in the fires? In the build? They want to get a job building the super speed rail?
Well, yeah, because it's about currency.
It is about currency, but they're spending U.S. dollars anyways down there. That's what I'm saying. Open it free range, and then let us go live where we want to as well. Make a deal. Or let me go live in Costa Rica or some shit, or down in Cancun. I'll trade places with someone who wants to come up here. I'll go to Cancun and be a fisherman.
Well, now we're talking about the dissolution of all borders and one world government and shit. I mean, how far do you think these things go? Something that has enough power to encompass all that. Is going to be too powerful.
But it already is, apparently. I mean,
well, do you think that for it to get bigger would be better? I mean, that's just marching into the almost inevitable totalitarian state, you know?
You're right. Well, unless we get, that's why you have to get reins on it now. Let it, or just let it burn itself out, smoke through it, you know? If there's a fire, you know, some people just say smoke through it. So I don't know, man, you know?
Well, there's going to be some huge catastrophe, and then they're, you know, take more of our rights away, one piece at a time.
Right, which is why I'm bugging out. We're going to Mexico, dude. NFL is one of the signs. Like, I swear, it's one of the signs of the Four Horsemen and shit. I see all that shit. You add it all up and line it up with all the other people's conspiracies.
Is it better in Mexico, though?
It is if you're a simple, humble fisherman and you're not addicted to Hollywood and the nightlife. A lot of those people are coming up here because they want to do the rhinestone lifted truck, boot scoot boogie, Saturday night, pimp my ride lifestyle. They're attracted to the materialism.
Well, there's a lot of...
They live healthier,
you know,
than us.
They call them economic refugees because their own countries, you know, I don't know if they're not working too well or what, like Venezuela.
They're not. There's not prosperity. Like, I want to start my own concrete business.
Yeah, you can't do
anything. But they eat healthier than us. They live simpler. There's less cancer and disease and shit. Think about it. And, the people that live down in... on the fishing villages, those people are the shit, man. They're way healthier than we are.
Yeah, but that kind of... You can't have everybody down there because not everybody's going to catch fish. And that can't sustain as many people as there are like in Venezuela.
Well, there you have Bill Gates doing the population control TED Talks type shit, where it's just like genocide. We're like, well, you know, how are we going to figure out how to eliminate half the world's population? Like, thinking about this.
But, like, if people couldn't run away from their problems so easily, maybe enough of them would get angry at home and change something.
That's true. Or they would die trying. Like, that's a Braveheart story. Yeah, Braveheart wasn't going anywhere.
That's what we're supposed to do as Americans. If she gets super crazy here, we're not supposed to run away to another country because it's so, like...
Well,
some people say that we should have had revolutions every couple...
What if all you have to eat generations? What if you're, like, dying of potato famine and you're starving to death in a grass field, and there's a boat? What are you going to do, stay and fight? You can't. You can't even.
A different story.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of those people that ran, that's all they had the energy to do. They were done. And the queens, you know, the queen for a long time, dude, you know.
And those are tragedies, for sure.
Right. And it goes on in all cultures, you know. You go look at China and some of the beautiful things. Like, I could live in China if I could live the lifestyle I'm living here. Just, I'm free. I can make my music. I do my little side jobs, you know. I pay my little bills.
Yeah, just don't talk bad about the government, and they're watching.
Well, they're watching us too, you know. And
yeah, but no, the Chinese government, like, scores their citizens on, like, this online tracker. And
that's a beta test.
Yeah, but the lower your score or whatever, if you're a bad citizen, you disappear. Even if you're famous, you could just fucking disappear.
So these are the times we're living in, and are we... And you know what? Here's the sad part. We're all sitting around podcasting about it, like it's serious and shit. We shouldn't even fucking be here right now.
I'm jaded, man. It's how do you fight it? This is a long game.
Right.
The Federal Reserve's been around for 100 years.
That's
why. They've already done 99% of the job. They're just getting the last couple point whatever percent.
The only thing that could resolve it is Mother Nature. It's the only thing that can reset the balance in the force. It's the only thing. A group of people are, if any group of people rises up, they're just going to go down as these crazy Nazis.
Well, it's a hard thing for a revolution to go well, because not only do you have to have a bunch of people with the balls to do it, but there has to be enough educated men among them to set up something that's going to be fair and just, you know, and that's not an easy thing to do. And to keep it where it can't get too fucked up. And that's what we have with our Constitution. And I think that's one of the reasons why America has been great for the last couple 100 years. Because that Constitution gave everybody the right. Well, back then, unfortunately, that's not the case. But now the idea of it is that every man is created equal.
Well,
and that
no,
we should all be subject to the same laws.
Well, we got no. I look
we
at
we have the, inherent rights that the government doesn't give us the rights. We just inherently have them. They can't be taken from us.
Right, right. And that's God speaking. That's a. And if you don't agree with that, you are a sleepwalker. There's like certain universal truths that it's the law of nature. It's a law of science. Human rights. It's like a jellyfish has a right to swim without being harmed by anything else. But it also shares the same rights in the same – but it lives in a world of rules where if it gets eaten by a shark, then it got eaten by a shark. But when the jellyfish take over an entire shipping industry and destroy the whole entire harbor, you know, is it our right to eradicate them? So that we can go eradicating the world with our ships and our industry, you know, where do you draw that line? And it's shit. And now people are talking about, you know, we're doing it with abortions, and now people are talking about elderly, you know, assisted suicides, and
it's a slippery slope.
You know, they could, we could all draw, you know, sticks, and we could go random select and just. A lot of people be just to disappear overnight. Remember all the conspiracy about the trains, all the FEMA camps, and how they're tied in with all the train
houses? I remember that, yeah.
For years, they've been talking about these FEMA camps, and all of a sudden, there's this high speed rail going up the coast of California. Think about it.
You think it's the Nazi light rail, huh?
Dude, I don't know. Let all the Hispanics in and take them where? Where are they going? Think about it. Do the liberals, are they really your friends? Who's really your friends? The neocons, the people,
the Catholic Mexicans that want to come over here and obey the laws and work hard and
yeah, but that's what they already they want to do that at their homeland too, but they're not allowed to there. They're not allowed to here. They don't realize they get here. We're not, they're at least allowed to leave. I'm not even allowed to leave this country without a passport. It's illegal. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
It's like there's laws where like if you're a citizen and you leave the country, I think without your passport, you have to notify them or something. Or it's, I don't know. I thought maybe I'm wrong, but it's strange. Is it too much of a scary topic? It's like, oh, it's far-fetched. Everyone's like, oh, you're just paranoid and you smoke too much of that weed. It's like, what happened to like in every civilization that ever happened? People were getting trained out in one way or another form by axe head or rail car or poison gas. I mean, the Japanese were sending syphilis on the fleas? What comes on the fleas? Typhoid fever or some shit? They were flying that shit over here in hot air balloons. And it was
landing. Yeah, they were doing some crazy shit, yeah.
You know, you just like, let's launch some more balloons with the plague on the fleas and try to land them in Seattle. They were trying to land them in Seattle and San Francisco. They landed and the disease died before it made it to the city. It died out in the forest. Two crashes in balloons. And then like a week later, we nuked them. That's how close it was to them wiping us out. Not like nuking us and like letting us have our history. I'm talking like Shosugi bond the entire nation. And it's like, so when people go, oh, Iran's trying to build a nuke to blow us all off the face of the planet. Oh, there's no weapons of mass destruction. It's like, I don't know, dude. A weapon of mass destruction is a roof rat. Out of control roof rats. Smoke break. All right, well, I'm going to go back and do some research on this. Teams and Super Bowl and location. Starting with year 2000, I went back and made a list. I looked it up on Wikipedia. They got a list of all the Super Bowl teams and champions and location and dates and years. It's pretty cool. Year 2000 was the St. Louis Rams and the Tennessee Titans. Rams win in Atlanta, Georgia. You look up, try to do some research. I didn't find much. It's hard to find, I was trying to look up like weather tragedies. tornado tragedies, flood tragedies. And if you type in like, you know, like say Tennessee year 2000, you get a lot of articles about the team that year rather than, significant seemed like super storms or anything like that. I didn't even dig that deep. I figured I'm just going to kind of record this as I research it. So we can learn together because, I've never really dug into this. Just to see if my crazy theory, how many, interesting fat little factoids are related to these things. Here's something that's interesting. Okay, check this out on Wikipedia. Tennessee was won by Governor George W. Bush by a 3.87% margin of victory despite having voted for Clinton in 1992 and 96 and being the home state of Vice President Al Gore. If Vice President Gore had carried his home state, he instead of Bush would have been elected president. Wow. Okay, let's think about this for a minute. The Tennessee Titans used to be the Houston Oilers. And Bush is an oil family, major oil family, probably owned the Oilers, which are now the Tennessee Titans. And that's me digging into this about on, you know, right here and right now, about 30 seconds into this, I'm already losing my mind. And that's the year Tennessee goes to the Super Bowl. They lose to the Rams, the St. Louis Rams. But the money's been made. All the shirts have been printed. Everything has been paid out for both teams, just pretty, almost just about as much as win or lose. Each team's gonna produce the same kind of revenue. Let's dig a little deeper, maybe. New York Times. For Tennessee, first execution in 40 years, April 20th, year 2000. Interesting. Okay, I'm not gonna dwell on one team in one year for too long. I'm just going to hit one major, maybe, interesting fact about, you know, something going on and move on because I got to get through the next 18 years. Let's see what the Rams are all about. All right. Here's the first article that comes up on Google search. It's called, Brennan Center for Justice, Missouri year 2000. I haven't even read this article. I'm just going to read it. I read like the first line and I said, I'm just going to read it on here. Let's do this. The 2000 election was hotly contested in Missouri and various irregularities led to inflated claims of widespread fraud. Many of these fraud claims were later used to support the call for restrictive ID requirements. We examined each of the allegations of fraud by individual voters. The only sort that ID could possibly address. To uncover the truth behind the assertions. The allegations yielded only six substantiated cases of Missouri votes cast by ineligible voters, knowingly or unknowingly, except for those votes permitted by court order. The six cases were double votes by four voters, two across state lines and two within Missouri, amounting to an overall rate of point whatever, 0.00003. None of these problems were resolved, requiring photo ID at the polls. Interesting. That's the year the St. Louis Rams go to the Super Bowl and win. It doesn't really tell the allegation. 79 votes were cast from allegedly invalid addresses. 14 addresses in St. Louis City were drop sites where fraudulent registrations might have been processed. It's crazy. Between 62 and 114 people in St. Louis City and County allegedly rendered ineligible because the felony convictions cast ballots. Interesting. Based on a computer match of voting rolls against federal and state conviction, between 23 and 68 St. Louis area voters allegedly voted with twice in 2000 based on a review of the voting, whatever. Okay, that's just one article, but it's interesting. All right, not much there coming up. There's some strange things you try to dig into it, and it's almost like you try to dig deep into like find like some newspaper articles or something. I'm not gonna spend too much time on it, but it seems like it's not as easy as you would think. I saw some strange things, but I'm not gonna mention them on here because I can't you know, I can't really verify by going through certain websites, but whatever. Let's go on to the next year, 2001. What was the date of 9/11 that happened? It was it 9/11/2001? Let's look this up. Okay, September 11th, 2001 is when 9/11 happened and the whole tragedy in New York City. Guess what? The Baltimore Ravens and the New York Giants go to the Super Bowl that year. The Ravens win. It's played in Tampa, Florida. Interesting. Also, correct me if I'm wrong, that's the same year. I think the D-backs and the Yankees go to the championship in Major League Baseball. Interesting. Let's look up, let's look into this a little bit, see what happens here. I'm not going to look up news articles on this one. It's kind of, Baltimore, Maryland is basically Washington, D.C. Close enough. And the New York Giants are in New York. The same year 9/11 happened. So the Super Bowl happens, it throws you off because it happens in January after the first of the year, but it's basically the teams that played the year before. But so the Super Bowl champion for year 2000 is actually the 99 year teams in a sense. It's kind of, so like, let's say 9/11 happened in September. That's 9 months after the Super Bowl happened that Baltimore played the Giants. So would that blow the theory out of the water? Yes and no, because that team is labeled the champ when those things is already labeled the champ when all those things happen, such as like the Titans are already the champs when Bush gets elected. The Giants are the, you know, Maryland, Baltimore, Maryland is already the champs when 9/11 happens. It could be subliminal, but I'm going back 18 years and I'm going to keep working forward and to see just kind of some strange anomalies of that. But the two teams that go to the Super Bowl that year are from the same region that 9/11 got hit, the Pentagon and Manhattan, New York Giants. So send it. 2002 season. New England Patriots beat the St. Louis Rams in New Orleans. Nothing comes to mind right off the bat. Anything strange about that? I don't know. I don't even feel like looking into this. But let's see if I can. Anything comes up. I can't hurt. All right. Well, 2002 Pats versus Rams in New Orleans. I looked up Patriots something in New England or something in LA. I don't think I looked up something in St. Louis. Nothing came to mind, but then I said, I'll look up what happened in Louisiana. Wikipedia, list of Louisiana hurricanes, 2000 to present. It's interesting. Let's look up. September 9th, 2000, Tropical Depression 9. June 2001, Tropical Storm Allison makes landfall near Freeport, Texas. August 6th, 2001, Tropical Storm Barry causes tides of 2 to 3 feet along the southern Louisiana. August 5th, 2002. Now we're in 2002. Tropical Storm Bertha makes landfall in Boothville as a minimal tropical storm, blah, blah, blah. September 5th, 2002. Tropical Storm Faye develops offshore of Louisiana coast, performing landfall in Texas, moderate tropical storm. September 14th, 2002. Tropical Storm Hannah makes landfall near the mouth of the Mississippi River as blah, 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 blah. September 26th, 2002. Hurricane Isidore makes landfall just west of Grand Isle's tropical storm. October 3rd, 2002. Hurricane Lily made landfall on the landfall in the morning, October 3rd, near Intercoastal City, June 30th, 2003. So there's a bunch of storms in the Super Bowls in the Superdome in Louisiana that year. You know, that's interesting. Just by chance, of course, lots of hurricanes hit there every year, but it seemed like that year there was, did I count out 5 or 6 or something? And in the year before, and it seemed like it was some storms into 2003 and even 2004. This is pre-Hurricane Katrina, though. This is before Hurricane Katrina, so we're going to be getting to that here in a little bit. Just something interesting. I'm going to move on to the next year to get this going. 2003 is Bucks. Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus, what is it? Is it Oakland Raiders? Or is it Los Angeles Raiders? I'm not sure. They play that one in San Diego. Let's see what happens. What's going on in San Diego that year? Here's the San Diego Union Tribune. Okay. In 2003, the most destructive wildfires in decades blackened more than 380,000 acres, killed 17 people, and destroyed more than 2,600 homes in San Diego County across Southern California. The final death toll was 24, including one firefighter. Here are the first few paragraphs of the story. That's the year the Super Bowl was played in San Diego, 2003. So, October 27th, 2003. So let's see what happened. But the Super Bowl was played on January. This always throws me off. Yeah, it was in the... Oh, no. Yeah. So, basically almost the whole year before the fires happened in San Diego, the Super Bowl was played there. That's, now, raging, the most destructive wildfire in decades doesn't always run through your town every year, and it definitely doesn't run through the town, your town, the year that the Super Bowl is played there. Maybe once in a millennium, once in a billion years, chance of that happening. On to the next year. 2004, New England Patriots beat the Carolina Panthers in Houston, Texas. What's a news article from 2004 in Texas? Nothing big, but... it's all the auditory when you Google that. It's a Texas executes man 2004 for slaying of stone order. So it seems like, why is that such a big article? There's like 15 articles in here. Texas executes man in 2004 for killing of San Antonio convenience store owner during. Let's see if there's any Houston news. All right, here's some Houston news. Shit's getting crazy, dude. I can't even deal with this right now. Oh, shit. Where was I? Where the hell was I? Damn it. On this day, on Friday, December 24th, 2004, the Houston area saw snow for the first time on Christmas Eve ever. It was truly a white Christmas. And the article goes on, I should even keep reading this a little bit. Let's see if I can load this shit right. It was truly a white Christmas in Houston. People of all ages were outside throwing snowballs at each other, taking photos on digital cameras. Remember those. What? And generally running around like there was an accumulation on cars on tops. 2 days before Christmas Eve, an Arctic front pushed a deep layer of cold air across the blah, 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 blah Texas. At least 3 deaths in South Texas, including Houston, were attributed to icy roads. The flurries represented. Okay, whatever. That's crazy. That's the same year that the Super Bowl's played there. What else did I see right now? Oh, just the leader of a trafficking network that used a woman to transport cocaine taped to their bodies convicted December 1st, 2004. Just a random DEA.gov article. That's freaking crazy, though. Okay, and here's an article right now. A Tale of Two Super Bowls, Houston in 2004 versus 2017. Let's look at this, and it's kind of like a little bit of a... origins leap forward or backwards. In 2004, Houston metro population was 5.1 million. In 2007, estimated 6.6 million. We'll call Houston home. It's kind of a neat little comparison chart here and some stuff, sports, technology, the difference from then and now. Kind of interesting. So that's enough on that year. Let's go on to the next year. The New England Patriots win again. So this is a back-to-back year, 2004 and 2005. The Patriots versus the Eagles. Oh, I guess it's round one, possibly, in Jacksonville, Florida. Let's see what happened in 2004. I'm sure there was a great nor'easter, which is why I think a lot of these Eastern teams are always constantly in the top running. And that's played in Jacksonville, Florida. Let's see what happened in Florida that year, 2005. Okay, 2005. News, Florida. 2005, Hurricane Wilma. Hurricane Wilma clobbered South Florida on Monday, October 24th, defined as one with winds of 111 miles. August 25th, 2005, Katrina hits Florida. Hurricane Katrina lumbered ashore Thursday evening with punishing winds and torrential rain in densely populated southeast Florida. Florida weather summary for 2005. Florida official resigns after blackface photos emerge of him dressed as Katrina victim in 2005. What? Wilma was one of the 28 storms developed during the 2005 season. By comparison, three developments. Florida secretly a state. Secretary of State rules and black photos emerge. Are you fucking kidding me? Only. Okay, enough of that one. 2006, Steelers, Seahawks. In Detroit. What's going on in Detroit in year 2006? Let's find out. One thing I'm noticing right off the bat, or not off the bat, for ever since, every time you type in, here's what I typed in, 2006 news, Michigan. Every article that mostly comes up is sports related. I mean, I'm talking all the way down to like lacrosse. No weather news comes up. There's a few here and there, or no political news, there's no weather news, there's no crime news, there's no any other kind of news usually than just mostly sports. On a certain level, I understand that. On another certain level, I don't care. Where's all the articles? Where's all these Google pages at? Nothing comes up for Michigan except sports. Maybe it's because it's mostly a sports name, whatever. Let's type 2006 news, Detroit. Let's see what we got here. Not seeing nothing. No. No. Interesting. Well, anyways, you know, it doesn't say there was not a weird, strange anomaly or some strange evidence in one way or another. Steelers Seahawks. Was that the year? Let's see if I can almost make predictions. Completely in the dark. Is that the year? Wasn't there a winter storm? It's not a nor'easter, but every once in a while a storm will hit up there in the Seattle area. That's like a nor'easter off the Pacific coast. Was that the year that I remember a major one caused some devastating problems? Let's look this up. All right, here we go. December 5th, 2006. Seattle. After one of the driest summers in state history, record-setting rainfall fell throughout western Washington early in the month. A slow-moving Pineapple Express storm, I remember this, brought heavy rains and mild temperatures, causing record-setting high river flows, peak river crests, and widespread flooding. I can't believe I just called it. 12 years ago, I just remembered that hearing about this storm, and I'm on the exact money. The same year that Seattle goes to the Super Bowl? One of the places affected by the floods, Mount Rainier National Park, is working to reopen the park as the flooding washed out campgrounds, main roads, and the main power source to two of the park's visitor centers, while creating new channels and shorelines between November 6th and 7th. The park received 18 inches of rain in 36 hours. For further information, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so I'm done with that one. Let's see what is going on in New England that year. My bad, it's Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers beat the Seahawks that year in Detroit. So that's the year that the Seattle had the great floods after the driest year in their history. One of the wettest, like, to finish out, like, both in the same type of year. Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, that's over there by the Philadelphia and all that. It's basically anything up in there in the East Coast. And for many reasons, you could find all kinds of probably, who knows if they had terrible nor'easters or what kind of economic struggle they're in, which would cause, you know, me to think that one of their teams will go to the Super Bowl to help boost the economy. So on to the next year. We're at 2007 Colts Bears in Miami. Well, 2 years before that, we had Jacksonville and Hurricanes are pummeling Florida every year. So I'm just going to move on from that one. Chicago maybe had one of the coldest winters on record. Same with the Colts. They're both from the same region. Oh, okay. I'm going to call this one too. Colts and Bears, they're both basically from the same region of the lower 48. So who knows? Epic chills, epic snowfall. I remember Chicago had a pretty bad winter a few years back too. I'm probably dead on the nuts about that. 2008, Giants Patriots in Glendale, Arizona. Okay. Here's my angle on this one, which was what was one of my first kind of conspiracy angles for the whole NFL thing. The Giants and the Pats, traveling to Glendale, Arizona for fans and teams and the whole, all the logistics. It's one of the farthest distances traveled in the lower 48. On to the next one. 2009, Steelers are back to face the Cardinals. Okay, the Cardinals the next year. Look at this. So the year before, the Super Bowl's played in Glendale. The next year, the Cardinals go to the Super Bowl. So Cardinals fans now are going all the way to see every playoff game. They're going to the stadium to watch it on TV, on the big screen. They're tailgating. I remember it. I mean, people are tailgating there all freaking day and night. Huge economy booster in this town. So for 2 years in a row, Glendale, Arizona gets pumped full of playoff ratings and all that stuff. And then where's the Super Bowl played? 2 years later, so Jacksonville, Florida. Let's go all the way back. Tampa, 2001. Then Jacksonville, 2005. Then Miami in 2007. Then 2009 is in Tampa again. That seems like, oh, just about every other year, the Super Bowl's in Florida. That's interesting. Steelers card Super Bowl. Steelers beat the Cardinals in Tampa, Florida. Okay, so Steelers are going to the Super Bowl for a couple years in a row. Not in a row, but they go to the Super Bowl within like a 4 year period. The next year, here we go. Saints Colts. Colts are coming back to the Super Bowl a few years after 2007. Now the Saints are in here. And where is it played? The year before, the Super Bowl's in Tampa, Florida. The very next year, it's in Miami, Florida, is the Super Bowl. Just bringing tons of traffic and tourism. I mean, just pumping that region for just about every other year, it seems, with Super Bowl traffic and fans. Just like the Daytona 500 would do. But that's more of like, you know, that's where it came from. So that makes a little, it's more, you know. Next year after that. Green Bay Packers, Steelers in Arlington, Texas. Look into it. Doesn't matter. I don't even care at this point. I've made enough points where I'm just like, I'm not even going to keep Googling this shit. 2012, Giants, Patriots. Here we go again in Indianapolis. So the Giants, Patriots, they meet again? Is that what's going on? Giants, Patriots in 2008, rematch. 2012, Giants, Patriots in Indianapolis. Interesting. 2013, Ravens in San Francisco, in New Orleans. Well, anyways, okay, I'm sorry. I was way off. I think I said earlier, I've said it a few times. I thought the Saints won the Super Bowl the year that Hurricane Katrina was. That was, like, completely off by 5 years, so my bad. But where am I at? We're at 2013. Ravens, San Francisco, New Orleans. Let's see what's going on in New Orleans. We're just going to pick some random ones. Let's see what's going on in New Orleans in 2013. Okay, 2013. I mean 2013, so Tropical Storm Debbie, 2012. Tropical Storm Debbie, state of emergency. August 19th, 2012, Hurricane Isaac becomes ashore of the state twice as large as Category 1, producing 11-foot storm surge. October 6th, 2013. State of emergency was declared of Tropical Storm Karen. Interesting. And then it's been kind of quiet down there. It's been kind of quiet, but just interesting. That's the year the Super Bowl was played there. On to the next year, 2014. Who are we dealing with? Seahawks at Denver. Seahawks beats Denver in New Jersey. New Jersey, interesting. Seahawks go back, come back for redemption from 2006. 2015, here we go with the Patriots again at the Super Bowl against the Seahawks, who lose in Glendale. So now we're coming back to Glendale again a couple years later. Denver beats the Carolina Panthers for redemption after 2014 loss in Santa Clara, California. There's probably a lot of anomalies why it's in Santa Clara, or who knows why. 2017, Patriots, Atlanta, in Houston. What happened in Houston in 2017? Let's look it up. Okay, I said this earlier, I think, about the Houston Astros. This, I think it was the 2017 year they went to the finals. Hurricane Harvey of 2017 is tied with 2005's Hurricane Katrina as the costliest tropical cyclone on record, inflicting $125 billion in damage primarily from catastrophic rainfall-triggered flooding in the Houston metropolitan area in southeast Texas. They were under like 20 feet of water in some places. That's the year that the Super Bowl was played there? This is going to blow my mind when I go back and listen to it all edited together in one continuous stream. I'm going to be like, I shouldn't be skimming over some of these as much as I am, but I'm kind of just making more of a point rather than just Captain Factoid. You know what I mean? So now we're at, so it's played in Houston and the Patriots beat Atlanta Falcons. Why did those two teams end up in Houston the year that, Houston was the costliest hurricane in United States history? You never know, man. There's all kinds of possibilities. This last Super Bowl, 2018, Eagles beat the Patriots in Minneapolis. Devastating winters a couple years running for all three of those places. And now we are at the current Super Bowl that's going to be happening here in a couple weeks. Here we go. Who is it? Los Angeles Rams. New England Patriots. Patriots again. Dedicated fans travel the furthest, the most. There's more Patriot hats and jerseys out there, I think, than any other team in the nation. and they trek to all the games. Los Angeles, brand new team, first year. Am I wrong? Am I right? Second year, big deal. High speed rail, fires conspiracy. Where's the Super Bowl being played this year? Georgia. Didn't they just have some crazy floods come through there? They did this year. They had quite a interesting hurricane season with some very big scares and some shoreline coastal erosion and some inland flooding, I believe. They had a pretty major storm come through there this year. You just look at now look at those anomalies. That has all those anomalies, and nothing's even on the field. We haven't even seen any anomalies or weird plays or trick refs or people throwing the game. We haven't even looked at any visual evidence on camera. We're just looking at some factoids by region and teams and cities and states in the regions and locations. Some strange anomalies that you could probably dig into a lot deeper and even back it up even a lot more, that it's all tied in with economy, tourism, travel, industry, and profit. It's all tied into one big giant pyramid scheme, and it makes, you know, I can deny it and I can believe it. I'm just it's just interesting. And it's something to think about. So thank you for listening to Podcasts Are Bulletproof. The Super Bowl will be here, and we're in a new year, 2019, and it's time to wake up. And what's my prediction? Let's have a little prediction since we're coming in right before the Super Bowl. Who's gonna win the Super Bowl? And in conspiracy mindset, why are they going to win the Super Bowl? Here's one argument. From my little bit of research I've done, it seems like many times the team that has some kind of catastrophe in their region is the losing team. They still go to the Super Bowl. They still produce tons of income, but they don't win. So this year, I would have to say that would be the Los Angeles Rams go to the Super Bowl, but do not win. They're the ones that are having the terrible wildfires and landslides and border budget crises and the San Francisco meltdown crisis and the high-speed rail crisis and crazy experiment crisis and drug epidemic crisis. Do the New England Patriots win? And why would they always win and always go to the Super Bowl every freaking other year? Is it because they're the best dynasty ever? They might be. That might be true. But if one ref makes one call, which makes you the Pats, or one call goes the wrong way and makes you the New Orleans Saints, that doesn't mean you're the actual best team that ever played. It just means that on paper. If that makes any sense. There's tons of teams out there that are just as good. I've seen just as many incredible plays. You can't tell me that they are like just some of the greatest dynasty. And if I look back at when San Francisco won like four rings in a row when I was a kid, I don't know if they all were the best team. You know, I'd have to go back and review all that and dig deeper back. And then maybe the times have changed. So I'm predicting, I think, that Rams lose the Super Bowl. Because I'm seeing a trend. And here's another reason why. If the Rams lose or win, they won't make any more money if they win. But if the Patriots win, their fan base will grow stronger. They will have even more dedicated fans because of the dynasty. And things related to that. Rams are too new of a team to even if they did win, it would just be like a fluke thing, like, you know, no one's, the hardcore Rams fans are kind of they're unsettled. They've been bounced around. One of my friends is a Rams fan. Just kind of like the Oakland Raiders thing. Teams that get bounced around, they don't build that Green Bay Packer type of fan base like the New England Patriots, like the Bears, like the Packers, like you could say Seahawks, like Denver Broncos. And I relate to that because I'm an Arizona Cardinals fan, but our Cardinals aren't really an original Arizona team, right? They're from Chicago and bounced around to St. Louis and whatnot. So you don't have that settled fan base, that fan base that has many generations of fans. So I'm predicting the Rams lose. And I predict that it's going to be a great game down to the wire, because is it rigged? That would provide another piece of evidence in my little stockpile that I'm brewing up here, that I'm accumulating here very quickly. Is it going to come down to a field goal? I don't think so. It's going to come down to something more exciting than a field goal. I think it's going to come down to Brady throwing a touchdown to probably Gronkowski, is the way I see it. And then it's going to be like this bone crushing, most epic, you know, dynasty football legacy that ever lived type of thing. We'll see what happens. If I come out totally, completely wrong, I will be surprised. This has been another episode of Podcaster Bulletproof. We're in the process of waking up. Sometimes it's hard just to stay awake once you're already awake. So we're just trying to, figure this thing out. I'll see you guys.